Good morning. My name is Emily, and I would like to share with you what God has been teaching me recently. As I was preparing for this, I was thinking about the previous testimonies I have shared throughout my life. I realized that they were all pretty similar. You know, I was raised in a Christian home, and I accepted Jesus at a very young age. I talked about times where I rededicated my life to God and truly made this faith my own. But as I was preparing for this, I was challenged to not just list some facts and dates in my life, but to share what God is doing in my life right now. So, I am currently in grade 12. This year has been filled with lots of schoolwork, basketball, and music. And without realizing it, God had become more of an afterthought. My days started to consist of running around, trying to get all my homework done and music practice done, and then saying a quick prayer right before going to bed and calling that good. After a few days would go by, I would feel guilty for not reading the Bible, so I would force myself to read a couple of chapters. But then I would just go about my day, never thinking about what I read. This mindset went on for most of my grade 12 year, and to a degree, I'm still struggling with it. But God has put on my heart to share with you today what he has been teaching me and how he is helping me overcome this. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." God has been showing me that this hope is not only hope for the future. It's not only hope for the day when Jesus comes to take us to live with him for eternity, but it is hope for today. Hope for right now in our lives. Without realizing it, I began to have a mindset that was not healthy. I kept putting off deepening my relationship with God. I told myself that when I go to Bible school, then my relationship with God will be good. Or when I get married and have a man and a family to lean on, then my relationship with God will grow and be good. Or even when I get to heaven, then my relationship with God will finally be better. It doesn't really make sense, but I was waiting for eternity with Christ before I took my relationship with him seriously. Throughout these past couple of weeks, God has been showing me how flawed this thinking is. I came across a verse a little while back, John 17:3. "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life doesn't start when we get to heaven. Anyone who is in Jesus has eternal life right now. And what is eternal life but to know God? We will not fully know God until we get to heaven, but we can and we should strive to know him more and more while we're here on earth. A.W. Tozer said in his book, The Pursuit of God, "The moment the Spirit has quickened us to life in regeneration, our whole being senses its kinship to God and leaps up in joyous recognition. For now begins the glorious pursuit, the heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of the Godhead." As God has been teaching me these things, I've experienced God's faithfulness and his presence in my life in the here and now. I have learned that God grows and teaches us even when we feel distant from him. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I am Andrew Weeb. I became a Christian when I was about 5 years old. I grew up with my two loving parents and my two little siblings, Adam and Abigail. My parents taught me to love God with my whole heart through my whole heart. Through my middle years of my life, I would go to Sunday school and church. We'd go to summer camp, daily vacation Bible camp, and go to a five-day club during the summers. Things were fairly good till I turned about 15. When I turned 15, I knew that I wanted to show the church, friends, and family that I wanted to follow God with my whole heart. So on Mother's Day of 2015, I got baptized at this church. And then I was feeling good and fulfilled. Before this step, when I was with being in high school, I started to get pulled in a peer pressure with girls and parties. I was never big into the party scene, but I was always bugged that I wasn't going to the parties on the weekends. But the attention I got from the girls was a big struggle for me. Within the first months of high school, I had a girlfriend, and in that time, I was kind of feeling lonely and separated from God because I wasn't getting answers from prayer, so I felt that God put me on the back burner. After a bit, my non-Christian girlfriend wanted to go farther, and with my Christian base, I said no, and I broke it off, feeling that was a good choice, and that's what God wanted. But after that, I felt like no one wanted me besides my parents and my grandparents. I just felt like I wanted to go to heaven. There was multiple points where I thought about just rolling my car in a ditch and just going to see God. Then shortly after that, I was talking to my mentor and my parents, and they were saying, just keep praying. So I did. Then shortly after that, I had a rollover with one of my good friends from school. And it was from homework, actually. So that was my good excuse for not getting my homework done. After that, then I was realized that God did have a purpose for me in my life and that I wasn't here for nothing. I have been lucky to have people other than my family to talk to and who have inspired me to be accountable in my journey of faith. For instance, Greg McDonald has sent me multiple texts through my life. How's your faith going, AJ? Or helping Dan on the acreage and having our conversations about faith and how our Bible reading is going. Also, I've had many lengthy talks when I go out for coffee or lunch with my mentor. At the time was Marshall and now Adam. From all the examples I have learned to not be ashamed of my faith and to love God wholeheartedly, they have also taught me to be ready to talk and live out my faith by sharing my testimony. Thanks for listening, and may I challenge you to tell others how God has been working in your life and prove it by showing them.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Emily and AJ, for sharing. That was really inspiring. So, yeah, as has been mentioned, the theme of the service is the power of testimony. And, yeah, I just really want to share that we all have a testimony and that we can all share that testimony. But first, let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for all the people here, and I know they're all here for a reason, and I pray that you would just calm my nerves and that you would speak through me and that your words would just touch someone here today. Amen. So at the beginning of the service, we acted out the story of the blind man, and his testimony was very simple. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Jesus opened his eyes, and he does the same for us when we come to him. He opens our eyes, and he gives us a new way of seeing life, a new perspective, and that can be our testimony. And then we shared the video of the woman at the well, and her testimony was, I met a man who told me everything I ever did. And I think we can expand that to, I met a man who told me everything I ever did and didn't shun me, who told me everything I ever did and still loved me. And what I love about her story is that her testimony drew the whole town out to see Jesus. And in the passage, they said, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And that's the beautiful thing about our testimonies. They don't save people, but they draw people to Jesus so that they can experience him for themselves. And that is a part of why we share our testimonies, to hopefully lead people to Jesus. And faith is the assurance of things we cannot see. So if we spend our time arguing with people whether or not God exists, that may not impact them. But if we share our story with them, that could have a real impact on them. Because people can deny our opinions, but they cannot deny our real life experiences, that we have experienced God's love and grace and redeeming power, and that that is real to us. Our experiences are the greatest evidence we have that God exists, and that is why our testimonies are so powerful. And with that, I want to share one more story. So if you want to flip to Mark 5, I'll be reading verses 1 to 20. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So in this story, we see a man radically transformed by Jesus, so much so that when the people saw him dressed and in his right mind, they were afraid. Because if we look at this man at the beginning of this story, he was at his worst. He was living in the tombs. Chains could no longer keep him. He would cry out day and night and cut himself with stones. He was an outcast. He was crazy. And people probably thought he was beyond help. But one encounter with Jesus, and he was a totally different person. And Jesus does that for us too. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And this is our testimony. One of the craziest things about the power of Jesus is that he makes us into new people. And the next step, another way to share our testimony, is to actually live our lives as the new creations God has made us. If we look at the demon-possessed man, after he met Jesus, he would not go back to the tombs. He would not go back and cry and cut himself with stones because Jesus had given him a new life. And Jesus tells him in verse 19, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So he did not go back to the tombs, but he went home and told his family what the Lord had done for him. And the same is for us. When we come to Christ, we can't go back to our sinful ways. We can't go back to our dark places of hopelessness because we now have hope and we have a new way to live. So yeah, this man, he lived as a new creation. And his transformed life was such a testament to Jesus' power that it says at the end of verse 20 that the people were amazed. Because not only did this man share his testimony, but he lived it out as well. And that is what we are called to do. And it won't always look like how we want it to. We see in verse 18, this man begged to go with Jesus, but Jesus told him to go home. God doesn't call everyone across the earth. He calls some people to share the work God has done in their lives right where they are with their friends and family. And you can share your testimony and live your testimony wherever you are. And another point I want to make is that people won't always be amazed by your testimony or run to Jesus because of your testimony. We see in the story of Lazarus in John 12:10 that the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. When your life points to God, when your life is evidence that there is a God, People, you will face opposition. People may not try to kill you as they did with Lazarus, but they may not want nothing to do with you because your life is evidence of something they don't want to believe in. But we have to believe that God will speak through us no matter what, and that he is working even when we can't see it. And I just want to remind you that your testimony can be that God loves you, that he opened your eyes, that he radically transformed you, and that we have to live as a new creation, because not only does it impact people, but it brings glory to God. And the question I want to challenge you with is this: is your life evidence that God exists? Does the way you live point to God? And if the answer is no, maybe look at your life. Think about what God has done for you and why that means you should be living differently. And to end, I want to share these two verses. Galatians 2:20, which says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And Philippians 1:20, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." So live your life by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself up for you, and have courage to glorify Christ in your body, whether by life or by death. And I believe that each of your testimonies will lead many people to Jesus, even if we don't see it in our lifetime. Because I believe that the way we live our lives and the words we choose to speak do impact people and bring glory to God. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you for your presence here today. And yeah, I thank you that you have given us each a testimony and that I have seen your power at work in so many people's lives. And I pray that you would just continue to work and give us all courage to share our testimonies and live for your glory. Amen.